This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the New York City Vision Zero Initiative. More pedestrians are hurt in crashes around sunset than any other time. If you don't drive carefully, ask yourself, is it worth it? With daylight saving time ending, Vision Zero reminds you, slow down. We always love talking to this next gentleman. He's not just a guest, but he's a friend, a longtime friend, and that is Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A., it's just been too long.
Fellas, how y'all doing? How's everything?
Hey.
We're doing great. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm in L.A. Life is kind of nice right now.
Well, whenever you have that mellow voice, I know you're either in L.A. or South Beach.
That is true, Michael K. That is true. And in this particular instance, it would be Los Angeles, California, sunshine and 70-degree weather. It's not bad. I mean, it's COVID-19, so obviously it's not an ideal situation for anybody to be in, but surviving.
You'll make it work. All right,
always do.
Why does Westbrook want out of Houston, and do you think the Knicks are a good destination for him?
Well, obviously, James Harden is ball dominant. Russell Westbrook is ball dominant. Russell Westbrook believes himself to still be a superstar in this league that should not have to defer or should not have to play off the ball, and obviously that's not going to be the case in Houston because even though he's great in his own right, he's certainly not James Harden. And as a result of that, he has made it clear to ownership and management for the Rockets. As late as last night, he absolutely positively wants out. It's irreconcilable differences from a basketball perspective. I'm not going to sit up here and say that him and James Harden are not friends anymore because that would be irresponsible on my part. I don't know that to be true, and I sincerely doubt that that would be false because they've known each other since childhood. But what I can tell you is that Russell Westbrook doesn't like playing with James Harden any longer, and James Harden doesn't even appear to give a damn. So, Russell Westbrook will be gone. He will be moved. And the likelihood is that there will be wholesale changes taking place in Houston, and James Harden will be gone eventually as well.
So if you're the Knicks and you're interested, what would you have to give up?
Everything, and that probably still wouldn't be enough because it's the Knicks. They don't have anything to offer Houston. If Houston were to give up Russell Westbrook, it would be to get his salary off their hands. That would be their motivation behind getting rid of Russell Westbrook. He definitely would be box office in New York because even though he can't shoot three-point shots, and that's a hindrance for him, he's unstoppable one-on-one. He can get to the basket anytime he wants. He's a big physical guard with lightning quickness and incredible athleticism who's ultra, ultra aggressive. New York City would absolutely positively fall in love with Russell Westbrook if they were able to get him on their roster because a championship wouldn't be expected. So it really would be up to Russell Westbrook, too. But it would also be up to the Houston Rockets in terms of do the Knicks have anything to offer them that would intrigue them to make such a move. I don't think that would be the case, but you never know.
Would Russell Westbrook arriving at the Garden at least make the Knicks an instant 7 seed, or would that still be very difficult?
I think it would still be very difficult, but I certainly wouldn't claim it to be impossible. I think that Russell, I mean, when you look at the Eastern Conference, you've got Toronto, you've got Miami, you've got Boston, Philadelphia. You got about the top 5 teams. After those top five teams, it's a crapshoot. And as a result of that, Russell Westbrook definitely could have the Knicks in that situation, particularly with Tom Thibodeau as a coach. Remember, Thibodeau can coach. Here's the issue with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is a superstar talent, but he can't really shoot, particularly long range. As a result of that, you would think that when you go to the playoffs and you get bounced out in the first round every single year since Kevin Durant departs, and you lose to the likes of Donovan Mitchell, you lose to the likes of a Damian Lillard and other guys, you would think that you would work on your shot. But Russell Westbrook is one of the most prideful and the most stubborn individuals you will ever find, according to people in NBA circles that you talk to. And as a result, just think about him with Tom Thibodeau, because Tom Thibodeau knows how to coach the game of basketball, but he's incredibly dogged in his approach to the game. he's got a far more affable personality off the court than he does sidelines coaching his basketball team. And you just wonder how that mix would actually work. That's a question mark. But if you're the Knicks, you can't be concerned about that, because a talent like Russell Westbrook is not something that the New York Knicks have had in years.
Now, let me throw this at you, Stephen. We're talking with Stephen A. Smith here on the Michael Kay Show. I don't know if there's that many teams that want Russell Westbrook and have the $42 million in cap space to bring him in. The Knicks do have that cap space, so if the Rockets want him gone, there are very few places they could send him that could pay him $85 million over the next 2 years.
Well, that's absolutely true. You're right about that. But again, they're going to explore it rather than lose him for nothing.
Right.
Because you can't go from being a championship contender, having CP3 on your roster, letting him go, forfeiting CP3 along with draft picks to get a Russell Westbrook, then after 1 year, let Russell Westbrook go for nothing. And the New York Knicks, from a roster perspective, I mean, who do you have? Julius Randle, Bobby Portis? Who the hell do you have? I mean, the fact of the matter is you just don't have enough talent-wise to take Russell Westbrook. So the Houston Rockets have to be about the business of finding somebody to absorb those dollars and cleaning house that way, or you're going to have to receive equitable compensation in return for his services. That's why I went on First Take this morning, and what my proposal was is that James Harden is not going to want to stay there either, because he's looking at this squad. He's looking at the fact that Daryl Morey is going to Philly. He knows Daryl Morey would love to have him in Philly, okay? So as a result, he probably wants to leave Houston, because that's what I'm being told now. Well, if he wants to leave and you're Tillman Fertitta and Raphael Stone, the new general manager for the Houston Rockets and the owner, I mean, listen, you move James Harden because chances are you're going to have people knocking down every door to get their hands on James Harden, who's averaged a minimum of 29 points per game over the last 4 years, over 32 the last 3 years, and is one of the prolific scorers the game has ever seen. You're going to have a bunch of people wanting James Harden, and because of that, it might behoove you to move him first and to see what level of compensation you can get in return for his services before you move Russell Westbrook.
So, Stephen, these are the guys that didn't want Van Gundy to be their coach. You don't hire Van Gundy and then you get rid of those players?
Well, see, the problem is, again, the players waited until after the process to say they wanted out. They didn't tell the GM and the owner, we want out the minute the season had ended. They waited to see how things unfolded. Then when Daryl Morey leaves after Mike D'Antoni leaves, they're like, oh, hell with this. And now they have this mindset, and that's why they just informed ownership of what their positions were, at least according to folks in Houston. They were unaware of how guys felt. Now, compare that to a year earlier. They lose in the playoffs. James Harden sits on the podium last year, guys. And he says, y'all know what the problem is. We all know what the problem is. But he wouldn't say what. He doesn't even leave the stadium. He doesn't even leave the arena. Inside the Toyota Center, immediately following his press conference, he walks down the hallway to owner Tillman Fertitta and the general manager at the time, Daryl Morey. He says, I want Chris gone, meaning Chris Paul, CP3. I want him gone. That's what James Harden said. That day, according to what I've been told, no such thing happened in this particular situation until recently. They didn't know that these guys felt that way. I don't know whether to believe them or not, but that's what I'm being told.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stephen, what's your feeling on the way the Nets season is going to go? Is this going to be something special, a train wreck, or some combination of both?
I believe that the Brooklyn Nets are going to the NBA Finals. I think that Kevin Durant is just that lethal, and I think that Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving, with the roster that they have in place, that Sean Marks has put together. I don't think there's any excuse, at least not to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Anything less than a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals would be a vast disappointment. And when you consider the kind of player Kevin Durant is, yeah, you're coming off your ACL. But that ACL happened in June of 2019. It's now November of 2020, okay? You're talking about a year and a half this man hasn't played basketball. Health should not be an issue in my estimation. And when you talk about the fact that he's 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan, can pull up from 30, ball handling skills, career 27-point-per-game scorer on nearly 50% shooting and 38% from three-point range, I don't see any reason why Kevin Durant shouldn't expect to come back on the court and average another 27 again. We know what Kyrie can do when he's healthy. Now here's the interesting part. You are hearing Brooklyn, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, draft picks for a James Harden to have your own lethal weapon three in Brooklyn, New York, to pair Harden with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That could be very interesting. You're also hearing that Daryl Morey is going to try to get his hands on James Harden. You heard that from the moment he signed on to be president of basketball operations in Philadelphia, likely for Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, along with additional compensation. Don't know what's going to happen. But the bottom line is, if the Brooklyn Nets, as presently constructed, anything less than a trip to the conference finals would be unacceptable. But if you talk about pairing Kevin Durant with James Harden and Kyrie Irving, I think anything less than a championship would be unacceptable.
That's what we're talking about, the prospect.
I will tell you this, though, Stephen. I wonder how many coaches, in a moment of truth, would even want Harden on the team? Because several people told me that D'Antoni left. He wasn't pushed out. They wanted him to return. He can't coach. Those guys can't be coached. And also, if Westbrook doesn't want to be the second banana to James Harden, who wants the ball all the time, you think Kevin Durant would?
Well, let me say this to you. Management, meaning Morey and his team, did not want D'Antoni to leave.
Right.
Ownership, meaning Tillman Fertitta, didn't give a damn.
Okay.
Now, he could have been convinced by management to keep D'Antoni if management remained in place, but he wasn't no big outstanding fan of Mike D'Antoni. That's number one. Number two, James Harden. Here's the reality that we have to accept about James Harden. Dwight Howard went there, didn't want Dwight Howard. Chris Paul went there, didn't want Chris Paul. Russell Westbrook is there. Now Westbrook wants to leave after 1 year. And on top of it all, James Harden doesn't give a damn. So that does not make him look good. But what I will tell you is James Harden has a decent relationship with Kevin Durant. And James Harden with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, New York, know the expectations that would be draped on their shoulders. And I don't give a damn how great James Harden is. There is nobody in the game of basketball this side of LeBron James that would view themselves as a number one option ahead of Kevin Durant. And I'd even challenge that LeBron James would view himself as a number one option ahead of Kevin Durant, who may be the greatest scorer this game has ever seen when all is said and done. So the fact that that's a reality, you could make the argument that a lethal weapon three in the New York market would be a workable situation because the pressure brought to bear would force all of them to capitulate to some degree and do whatever it takes to win championships as opposed to feeding their ego. That's the best argument that I could give you all for that, Michael K.
Well, I want you to be careful at Rodeo Drive. I know how you get. You've got big money. You're going to just throw it around. So just, you know, we need you back here.
Well, you know, I was on Rodeo Drive yesterday. That's not today. I have other business ventures.
You're rolling down Rodeo.
I taped General Hospital Monday.
Oh wow!
I have to come back at the end of the month to spend 3 more days taping episodes. So I'm in Hollywood, but I'm a very busy man. I mean, the palm trees, the sunshine, all of that's here. But it doesn't mean that I'm not working.
Steven, also, this is very important. Have you heard that the new Mets owner Steve Cohen, his on Twitter, his name is actually Stephen A. Cohen. Are you familiar with this?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
What I will say is that is unacceptable. I know that he's a billionaire. I know that he's a billionaire, and I get all of that. But it's not like he owns the Yankees. If he owned the Yankees, I would have no problem with it because he would be synonymous with winning. But since he owns the Mets, he has no business ever being called Stephen A. I would have a problem with that.
Synonymous with winning would mean you've won more recently than 09.
Take a walk, man.
Don, that's a reach.
You could say that. I would say count the banners.
Well, you know what else you could tell them too, Stephen A? The last time the Mets won was 86, so that's a long time.
I'm not arguing that the Mets are synonymous with winning. I'm just saying that I can find other teams.
I'm just saying, in the city of New York, when we talk baseball, there's one team that matters, and there's another team who strives to matter.
That might change, Stephen.
Might change.
And I know who do you blow with the Braves, buddy. I know you.
When it changes, call me. When it changes, call me.
If in a few years the Mets are going to change, I know you, Stephen. I know you better than you know yourself. 5 years from now, Mets have won a couple of championships. You'll be at Citi Field. You'll be wearing a Met hat. I know you.
Oh,
I know
not Steve. I don't, no, no, you don't know him at all.
I'm not denying that I'd show up to Citi Field because I'm in the business of sports journalism. But you would never catch me in a Met hat. You would never catch me in a Mets jersey. That would never happen.
You'll be talking to the writers over at General Hospital, trying to work in like Met storylines for Brick.
We want ratings, and SNY will tell you the Mets don't produce it, Brick.
Oh,
pop it in from Stephen A. The real Stephen A.
That's going to change.
All right, who has more money, that Stephen A. or this Stephen A.?
Great question.
Good question.
Stephen A. That's Stephen A. But my money's legit.
Oh my God.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we're going to let you go on that one. Thanks, Stephen.
I'm only playing. I don't know whether money's legit. MLB team. I'm just playing.
Oh, God. You know?
All right.
Have a good time in L.A., buddy.
All right, fellas. Y'all take care.
Now, this is you guys might not agree. I think he's pushing passing. With an appearance like that, he's pushing passing.
That was a great Stephen A.
He's always great.
I'll tell you one thing. He certainly beat R.J. Bell.
No, you're not setting a high bar now, are you?
Oh,
come on, guys. He's our weekly.
Let's towel off. We'll be back. We'll take some phone calls. Big ENN coming up as well. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Stephen A, too, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.